Gospel according to John in the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain among yourselves, for no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace, my sisters and brothers, from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Elijah was afraid. Not so much afraid, perhaps, as scared. Scared to death and running for his life. And to put it mildly, this was quite a turn of events. For it had only been a short time before this that Elijah had been full of confidence and without fear when, at God's command, he had gone down to confront Ahab the king, who had given his nation over to the worship of Baal, the false god, and allowed the priests of Jezebel, the queen, to put the priests of the Lord God to death. And Elijah was not afraid when standing alone. He had challenged those 450 priests of Baal to a trial of sorts, in which they would see whose god was the greater. Elijah had proposed this little contest in which an offering was to be made upon the altar and each side would call upon their god to bring down fire and consume the offering. But even with all those priests, and even though they had tried all day, and even though Elijah had mocked them unceasingly, thereby pushing them to even greater heights of religious fervor, the prophets of Baal had failed, and their bull remained on the altar unburned and unoffered. Now it is Elijah who stands alone before the offering to God on his altar. But Elijah's not just a prophet, he's something of a showman, a Barnum and Bailey early member who decides that he's going to rub salt into the wounds of the Baal's failure. So Elijah commands that his altar and its surroundings be soaked with water, not once, not twice, but three times. Only then, when the offering is soaked through, only when all can see that nothing in this earthly world could possibly light it, does he call upon the name of the Lord God. And the result is indeed something that Barnum and Bailey would have enjoyed. For fire comes down to consume all that stands before him, bull and altar and all. Elijah is victorious. The priests of Baal are exposed as nothing more than hucksters. Ahab the king and Jezebel the queen are thoroughly defeated. But Elijah is not finished. Merely embarrassing these priests and the king is not enough. Now Elijah executes those false prophets, putting all 450 of them to death, much to the consternation of Queen Jezebel, who in turn now threatens to take Elijah's life. So in this telling of the tale, it is now Elijah who is afraid. It is now Elijah who is scared to death. What is he to do? He flees. He runs as fast as his legs will carry him out into the desert, where we find him in this part of our story this morning, tired and hungry and in utter despair. And who would not despair? For Elijah finds himself in this wilderness, the last place any sane person would go. A wilderness is a fearful place. It is empty and desolate and lonely. It is filled with the promise of death and not of life. It is inhabited by wild animals and not humans. It is a place to be avoided. If you must travel through it, then it is best to hurry along and get to your destination. Only the vengeful hatred of Queen Jezebel could have driven him into such a place. Only his fear of Jezebel could overcome his fear of running into this wilderness. But even as he runs from the evil of Jezebel, he runs into the chaos of the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that the people of Israel wandered for more than 40 years. It was in the wilderness that those who were possessed by demons went to live. It was in this wilderness that Jesus would later be tempted by Satan himself. Into that wilderness, Elijah now runs, scared for his very life. In that wilderness, he seeks refuge from the revenge of Queen Jezebel. In that wilderness, Elijah now finds himself filled with utter despair, tired and hungry. But Elijah is not without some understanding of what he must do in this wilderness. For to simply wander aimlessly in such a place would mean certain death. Elijah, however, has a destination. He has a place of safety in mind, a place where God will protect him. Elijah is headed for Mount Horeb, known as the mountain of God, to get to the safety of God's mountain. Elijah is willing to cross through the chaos of the wilderness. To arrive under God's protection, he's willing to walk this wilderness road. There's no way around it. He has to go through it into the jaws of death and into the mouth of hell, as the old poem goes. My sisters and brothers, this story is as much about our lives as the life of Elijah, which hung in the balance in that wilderness experience. We may not be fleeing the vengeance of a tyrant queen, but on our journey in life toward God's holy mountain, we may well have crossed the wastelands and the wilderness, sometimes through the most extreme of physical, emotional, and spiritual environments. So many of those around us, so many of those seated here, have faced or are facing the wilderness of illness, where cancer, endless surgeries, constant pain are the marks we know so well from this wilderness journey. And there is an emotional illness, wilderness, a pain which comes from the loss of one we loved, the tearing at the heart, which comes from broken relationships, the turmoil that results from broken dreams and lost hopes. And there is the spiritual wilderness through which so many, including me, have traveled, searching for God, for hope in the midst of this hopeless world, is the journey that so many have undertaken. There is a drought in our world today, a deep-seated longing for that which is greater than ourselves, a seeking for the mystery which is God Himself, the wilderness in which competing spirits vie for our affection stretches out before us this day. This wilderness in which we too feel lost, alone, abandoned, fear-filled, and in despair. But now into the midst of this wilderness, into this place of chaos and evil, into this place of despair, of death without hope, comes the very God of life Himself. In this place of death, and desiring nothing less than to die, Elijah falls into the deepest of sleeps, a sleep that will help him to escape for a while from the reality of this place, a sleep almost like death itself. But he is not dead, and he will not die, for now God sends his angel to minister to his servant. The angel of the Lord comes down and touches Elijah, not only to awaken him, but touches him so that he knows he is alive, inviting him to eat. But what is he given to eat? Bread and water. And there is some irony, for convicted criminals get bread and water. Prisoners on a chain gang get bread and water. But for Elijah, living in this wilderness with all its reality of death, these simple offerings now become a means of refreshment and renewal and life. To this starving and despairing man, there never was a meal that looked more sumptuous or more filling. The scripture says that we do not live by bread alone, but the truth of the matter is that we do live by bread. For bread is that staple which lies at the heart of so much of our life-giving food chain. And it is the staple for so many throughout our world today. There in that wilderness, where he would not have had expected or believed that God's comforting presence could be found, there this scared and fear-filled prophet in exile experiences the compassion and affection of Almighty God through the simple gift of bread and water. There are so many in the wilderness of life who wonder, just as Elijah did so many centuries ago. But then, as I said, Elijah's story is our story. Even as we hear this story today, we are reminded that in the wilderness of our lives, God is still there with us, offering us comfort in so many ways. And chief among these are those messengers from God, angels who speak God's word of hope, messengers who have crossed our paths, touching us when we needed it, showing us the right way in the wilderness, and offering us the comfort of whatever nourishment it is that we need at that time. In such a way, we've been given the strength to go beyond the crisis we are facing at that time and continue to follow the path which the Father has laid out before us. But while bread is the staple of life for so many, we do not live by bread alone, as Jesus is quick to remind us. And while the bread will nourish and sustain us for a while on our earthly journey, we know that bread alone will never help us through the real crises which face us in our lives. The diagnosis of cancer, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, or the ending of a relationship. Bread alone will not give us the strength to see such issues through to the end. If we rely upon bread alone, sooner or later, we will succumb to the starvation of the spirit, which will fade into insignificance. Yet Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, not just bread for the journey, but bread for life itself. Not just bread for 40 days or 40 nights, as in the case of Elijah. Not just bread for 40 years, as it was for the Israelites in their own wilderness. Instead, this is the bread of heaven, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. This bread is forever. This bread will mean no more hunger ever. This bread will give life itself forever. For this bread is the word of promise. The bread combined with the word, as Blessed Martin Luther himself would say. This bread feeds us beyond even our wildest dreams. This bread is that which Jesus blessed and broke and shared. This bread is the reality of his suffering presence offered for us. This bread feeds us even here and now." Elijah was afraid when he went into that wilderness of death and despair. He lies down preparing himself even to die. But it is not death which comes. Rather, it is the Lord of life. Into the middle of that place comes the Lord God to bless Elijah with a touch of life, food to eat for the journey, and the comfort of his presence in that wild place. Fed and strengthened, Elijah is thus able to continue his journey. It will not be easy. Jezebel still trails him, seeking his life. The wilderness is still a harsh place, and fear still lurks there for the wildness it holds. But with the bread of God to feed him, and with the water of life to sustain him, Elijah will now follow God's call to the very end, to that great place where God himself will dwell, the holy mountain of Horeb. My sisters and brothers, we too have bread to eat and wine to drink, as we shared in this sacrament just last week, and I must say in all honesty, as you should share more often in this holy place. But even without the sacrament regularly offered and taken, we still have the life-giving touch from God of his holy word, which we hear every Sunday. And we have messengers who have been sent to strengthen us in so many ways. So I ask you, what fear should we have? What despair should engulf us? Why should we be without hope as we walk through the wilderness of this life? Jesus has fed us with his very body and blood, and he has given us new life in him. With that new life, there is no wilderness in our lives which can defeat the power of God in us
And in the end, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that will stop us from reaching our destination, the one He intends for us, His holy mountain, His place of love, His place of rest, His place of peace, His place of everlasting joy, His kingdom, where we will always be fed at the great banquet feast of the Lamb, and where all our fears will have been completely destroyed, and all things will have been made new in Him. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. He has fed us and nourished us in our journey in the wilderness. Do not then fear the wilderness of your lives. For God Himself has come to touch us and feed us and to lead us to His home. And for that, we can only say, thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.